Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, we depend on the one called the Helper, the Holy Spirit today. It's only by him can we understand your word and put it to action in our lives. And so we pray, Lord, today that Jesus will be glorified. And the word of God will move among us. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, there are many steps to becoming ordained in the Anglican Church. It's a real process. You start out with discernment in your local church, and you meet with people in the church, and a committee in the church is formed, and you talk to them. And then you move out into the diocese, and there's another committee and another more meetings with people in the diocese. And then you go and meet with the bishop, talk to him, and have meetings with the bishop. And then there are the exams, the physical exams, the psychological exams, even for your spouse. They must take these exams. The background checks of various kinds, criminal and all of those, even credit checks. There are the writing of many papers describing your life, your goals, your experience in the church. That's all before you ever step in, of course, to a classroom. That's a whole other story of work and testing that you must go through. You must find a church and do what they call field work, an internship. You must find a spiritual director and someone that you meet with periodically. The hard thing for me in many ways was just learning the vocabulary of the Anglican Church, all of the terms, because, you know, when you start out, imagine me, I'm a guy that grew up in a Baptist church. In a non-denominational church, non-liturgical, it's all totally new. And the terms, you're an aspirant, you're a postulant, okay, you're a candidate, you're an ordinand, and all of these phases that you go through, knowing the vocabulary. Well, I thought I was on my way after a year or so going through all of these things and thought I had it nailed down. Was right there in the system. And imagine my shock when I get this letter in the mail around this time of the year, and it says, "You failed to send your letter for Rogation Day." What? What are you talking about? I thought I was in big trouble. Well, you might be familiar with it, perhaps, but the churches that I was affiliated with and attended, nobody ever talked about Rogation Day. Well, it was pretty simple. It was just a letter updating them and stating my progress, and it wasn't really a big deal. But this is, in the church, Rogation Sunday. Did you know that? Do you care? The Book of Common Prayer says this: Rogation days are the 3 days preceding Ascension Day, especially devoted to asking for God's blessing on agricultural and industry. Usually, Rogation Day would always happen in the spring because of spring planting. When we lived in a world when everybody had a garden, all of us depended on the crops and the economy and life, everything was about planting and agriculture. And so we would have Rogation Sunday, Rogatio. It's the Latin word for ask, asking for God's blessing in the creation, with agriculture, with farming. You might have noted in the readings, there's quite a bit about creation. The psalm talks about asking for blessing and bless us, bless us. The earth shall bring forth her increase. And Paul, in his first sermon to one of two sermons to non-Jewish people, people who don't know the scriptures, who don't know about God, the Gentiles, Paul preaches from creation. He doesn't quote Old Testament scriptures. He does what he does on Mars Hill to those folks. He says, this is the God who created all. This is the God who has, even though you didn't know it, he has sent rain from heaven. He has brought fruit to your fields and blessed you. And of course, when we get to the book of Revelation, where we read from today, it's renewed creation, right? We have rivers and trees and fruit and a garden. And we're at the end of the Bible and we have a restored creation, a creation that is no longer depraved or tainted by sin. And so those are in the readings today for a purpose. Now, it's something that began in the 5th century in France. And is it really important today? Are you sitting there really worried about your crops? Probably not. Well, what caused such an uproar in Lystra in Acts chapter 14? Was it crops? Was it harvest? Was it a famine? Perhaps a lack, a drought, a lack of rain? Is that what all of the commotion was about? No. No, it was about a particular person that we don't really know who he was or his name or much about him, but Dr. Luke overdoes it when he tells us about this man's condition, because he repeats. He says he could not use his feet, he's crippled from birth, had never walked. And he wants to make sure how bad it was for this man, how severe his condition was. Paul preaches the gospel to him, and Paul sees that he has faith. He says, you have faith to be made sothenai. You have faith to be made sothenai. You have faith, many will say, to be made well, to be healed, to be made whole. But literally, it is sozo. He says, I see that you have faith to be saved. to be saved. That is the word, sozo, that is used right there. And that is an all-encompassing word in the New Testament. That is a heavy word. Because that word doesn't just mean, although it includes physical health, physical healing, but it includes saving in other respects. It's saving from being in a storm. They were saved from a shipwreck. It's saved in physical ways, but it is also being rescued in spiritual ways. Being rescued spiritually, being saved by God, rescued from a spiritual calamity, from one's sin. And so in the New Testament, when we come across sozo, it's an all-encompassing word. And this man in Lystra was sothenai. He was saved. And after that, there's utter chaos. And you see, the people here are speaking a different language, and Paul and Barnabas, they're not familiar with the language. So they're not real quick to find out what's happening here. There's a lot of confusion. And these are not Jewish people. These are people that had their own gods that they worshipped. Back in 1926, in an archaeological dig, a stone altar was uncovered near Lystra. And an inscription was written on that stone altar that it was dedicated to the hearer of prayer. The hearer of prayer. Who's the hearer of prayer? It was Zeus. In Greek mythology, Zeus is the one who was believed to be attentive to the prayers and supplications of human beings. You see, I would reckon that these folks in Lystra, I would reckon that they had been asking a long time. They had been asking Zeus, because Zeus is the one that hears, right? They had been asking a long time for this man. Everybody who knew him knew that he was born this way. From the day of his birth, from the day the parents come out and said, "We have a son," but oh, and then they discover that he can't walk. I would think that there was a lot of asking going on in Lystra for this man. And so naturally, when he is saved, when he is rescued, they think, who hears the prayers? It's got to be Zeus. He's the hearer of prayer. And they think that Barnabas and Paul are Zeus and his son, Hermes. Well, someone did hear their cries. Someone did hear their cries, but it wasn't Zeus. And Paul goes on to explain from creation that the one who has created all things, as he did on Mars Hill, you worship a lot of gods, but there's only one, the one that created it all, the one that sustains it all, that sends the rain, that grows the crops, that feeds the animals, the one who rescues and saves because of a tainted, sinful, damaged creation, and the one who will restore it all. In the end, it will be made new. That's the hearer of prayer. That's who heard your cries. You're asking. Christians would gather on Rogation Day at the church, and they would participate in something called the beating of the bounds. They would get branches, and they would process the boundaries of the church, and they would beat the ground. And they would go the whole boundary of the church doing that. And it was to ask for blessing, that the ground would give fruit, that they would be healthy, that they would flourish. Seems rather silly today, doesn't it? If I had you do that today, it'd be a little odd. But let me ask you this. Do you want to flourish in your life? personal life, family life? Is flourishing important to you? Health? Physically? Spiritually? What about spiritually? Because Jesus said, don't worry if they take your body. That's no big deal. But if you lose your soul, if you lose your soul, that's what you need to be concerned about. Are you concerned about flourishing in body and soul? About being right with your Creator? Bearing fruit in life? Living a peaceful life? Growing? We all think, I think, are maybe not so worried about the crops today, but we want to flourish. We want our families to flourish, our kids to flourish. It's not always easy. You know, when this all started in the 5th century in Vienne, France, it was Bishop Mermertus who got this all going with Rogation Day, Asking Day. And it was because that there had been a series of natural disasters. Because if you're dependent upon crops, the worst thing that can happen are natural disasters, are storms. Whether they're floods or winds or fires or whatever, if you're a person that's growing crops, that's your biggest enemy. And you can't control it. And so because of this series, back in the 5th century, of things that happened in France, Bishop Mermertus said, we're going to have a Rogation Day. We're going to ask God, first of all, that we flourish, but that we flourish in times of danger, that we're protected, that we flourish in a harsh environment. And it's not just the natural storms, but friends, we live in a harsh environment. It's the storms of life. The storms and the danger of life. It's not just nature. We know what nature can do. We saw a little bit of it here a few weeks ago in our town. But we think of what life can do. What about the assault on our soul, our spirit? It's Rogation Sunday, and it's Asking Sunday. Asking God that we might flourish in our bodies, in our souls. Asking God that even in danger, even in difficult times, we will flourish. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.